Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company. How do you like that? Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business. And my friends, don't let friends feed kibble. Well, happy Friday, everyone. It is Dr. Judy Jasik Day. How are you, Dr. Jasik?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, just kind of, you know, rolling along, saving the world one day at a time.
Hey, have you closed your PayPal account yet? Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we haven't actually used PayPal in a while, but yeah.
Then we had some customers that were like, can I use PayPal? And we were like, yeah, no, we don't use PayPal. And we certainly would now. Can you imagine a financial institution that is going to censor, which we don't approve of on any level, that is going to censor you? So if you say something and you're a customer, and they decide to ding your account. Now, they've come out and said that that was all fake, phony, and false, but it wasn't. Because you can see this is happening and there's a whole backstory to it. But can you imagine they ding you for $2,500 and you can't buy dog food? So,
yeah, I'm like, who are they to say what you can't? I mean, they're just transacting money.
Just but now do your money thing.
Right. Yeah, and now they're deciding, you know, what you can say and who can transact with who. But evidently there was enough people of our mindset that were on PayPal that pulled out and their stocks just took a nosedive. So like they got what they deserve.
Yeah, yeah. And there are other places that you can go, like paralleleconomy.com. Paralleleconomy.com. I get nothing off of that, but you could take a look at that. But yeah, I mean, we don't want that. Can you imagine the ripple effect? The ripple effect, like I was saying. So you have this money in your account and then they take it out. You can't buy dog food. You can't go see Dr. Jasik. You can't. I mean, what? Hey, Dr. Jasik, I know you're a vet, but you're a doctor. So I have a question for you. I got this question this morning. It says, my toddler just got into the smallest amount of my dog's raw dog food when I was cleaning. It was about a pea size or smaller. It was the beginner's blend. That is beef, tripe, fish, organs, bone, and fat. So she said, should I be concerned or what could potentially happen? And so we said, well, do you see any issues at the moment? And no issues, but she just wanted to know, should she be concerned? What say you?
I would say not. Now I will say, so granted, I'm not an MD, but veterinarians have been compared to pediatricians because their practice style has to be very similar because, you know, with young children, they can't talk to their doctor, just like our pets can't talk. You have to kind of learn how to read them and figure out what's going on. So, you know, it's not completely dissimilar, but I would imagine, you know, thinking of a, you know, baby, like a puppy that eats everything under the sun, they probably eat stuff that's a lot worse for them off the floor than a little bit of raw dog food, which is basically fresh food. If it was, you know, fresh, wasn't spoiled, I really can't imagine it being a problem.
Right. And there is a little bit of bone in there. However, mm-hmm. I know kids swallow pennies. They swallow copper things, right? Plastic toys and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we would say typically, the raw dog food doesn't stay in the bowl very long. Most dogs that I know have that gone in about, I don't know, 3 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. I don't know where this baby actually got into that. But anyway, yeah, good to know. I have to tell you, I have a customer and they've been buying for us a very long time. They live on 600 acres that they manage. And they have ridgebacks. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with him the other day and he said, I got to tell you, he said, I would have no problem. And this guy is smart. Okay. This guy's not crazy. There's nothing. I mean, he's amazing. He said, I would have no problem eating this food if the food source got in short supply.
Oh, him himself eating it.
Him himself. I said, well, you do know that has bone in it. And he said, so? I said, okay. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, what are some little bone fragments aren't going to hurt you?
Yeah. I wonder what happens if you swallow, like, let's say you're eating a rotisserie chicken, you know, and you swallow some bone.
Well, those cooked bones, now those, you know, like cooked poultry bones can be more dangerous because they'd splinter and stuff.
Yeah.
But if it's raw, as long as you're eating like the dog food raw with just, you know, those little tiny fragments, I can't imagine that that would hurt anything. It doesn't hurt little small dogs and puppies. So I doubt that it would hurt a human.
Now, let me preface this, folks that are listening. We are not suggesting that you eat raw dog food. Remember when that vet, he ate some, he said, I'm going to test this by eating, you know, my dog food. Who was that? But there was such huge backlash that he was a bad example, you know, that he was encouraging people to eat raw dog food. Come on, you can't fix stupid. All right. You just can't fix stupid. If you're going to eat it and you're going to complain about it and you're going to, you know, come on. It's not somebody else's fault. Make your own decisions. Right.
But the reality is, if it's fresh, safe food, it isn't going to hurt a person. It may not be our ideal diet because we're a different species. So it may not be what we would consider species appropriate for a human, but is it going to hurt you? No. I mean, the Answers pet food company, before they like broke up and everything, all these recent happenings with them, but they used to have a video on their website. One of the founders actually eating their food. She said, I don't recommend that you do this, but I just want you to know this is the kind of, you know, the confidence we have in our food. And she actually ate it on the video.
Wow.
So, there you go, Dee Dee.
There you go. I'm not going to be putting out that video though. I'm just going to let you know. Hey, you know, you and I were talking about something prior to the podcast that I wasn't aware of. I wasn't aware, Dr. Jacek, that the Amish were so big into puppy mills.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, we can get this Amish food. We can get this sort of thing. But it talks about that the dogs in these Amish meals are treated like livestock, and they'll spend their entire lives in a cage being bred until they can no longer produce. And the Amish breeders in this particular article have anywhere from 10 to over 1,000 dogs. And this is just really awful. And then they do these dog auctions. Dog auctions are common, they say, in the puppy mill industry, and are particularly prevalent in the Amish communities. And so these dog auctions are essentially the same as livestock auctions. And it's gross. So they say the dog auctions are held for several reasons. A commercial breeder may be going out of business and wants to sell all of his breeding stock, or a breeder may be interested in culling, that's killing, right?
Yeah.
Culling old breeding stock and purchasing younger, more fertile breeding stocks. So I just wanted to say that that's not cool.
No.
That's not cool.
You know, I've seen dogs come out, because people will sometimes rescue dogs that come from puppy mill situations. These poor dogs, I saw one just a couple weeks ago, golden retriever. So normally very happy, social dog. This dog had been in a cage for 5 years straight. So from being a puppy and then right into being a breeding dog. This dog was afraid of everything in its world, It's so sad. And these dogs, I mean, I've seen some come in that have had like broken legs that were never treated. Like they'd get their leg caught in the cage somehow and struggle and break it. And then they don't fix them. They don't put any money into these dogs. They just live in cages. They are in their own excrement. They feed them crappy diets. It's just all about making money, selling puppies, many of which are inbred. So they are not healthy. They're not healthy individuals. You know, we were talking about, you know, pet store puppies. So don't ever buy a puppy from a pet store, because the way we can stop operations like this is to not support them. And that's pet stores, like your any commercial pet store, unless you know for sure that they get their puppies elsewhere, they come from these puppy mills, and they are not only inbred, they're usually in, you know, really poor health. I was saying I had saw a puppy just this last week that had was way over vaccinated. It had been dewormed, like, honestly, like 30 times. It just, the schedule they had this poor dog on was just incredible. And it had this head tremor, like its head just kind of constantly twitched, probably from the over vaccinating. It was just really toxic from all these drugs. So, you know, these dogs are truly abused, and we need to really not support these organizations.
Yeah. And if you want to look into this more, it's called the puppymillproject.org, the puppymillproject.org. And it says in this article, Dr. Jasek, confirming what you said, it says the dogs are sold as is, and most are sold with chronic, untreated, painful conditions such as ear infections, rotten teeth, urinary tract infections, sores on their feet, probably from standing in those damn cages.
Oh, yeah.
Metastasis and more. So remember that when you are have, and see, this is what I you put something out there where, oh, the Amish have these, you know, they have the unpasteurized milk, or they have this type of beef, or they have this type of butter. And yet these type of things are going on. Now, can we say it's all Amish people? I wouldn't know that. I mean, this is just saying that it is prolific, I should say, in that community, especially in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, those types of places. So you guys, we gotta do more research when we're looking into things for our puppies. And cheap is not always the best, as right. I always say.
Right. You're going to be getting potentially a medical nightmare. And, you know, usually they don't come with any kind of like health guarantee or anything. So, you know, if you're going to get from, you know, some sort of breeding operation or some breeder, you know, I would say pretty much across the board, a good reputable breeding operation will guarantee the health of their puppies, and they will stand behind it, and they will help you with any health issues because they're doing their due diligence in trying to create healthy individuals. People that are breeding just to make money, they just want the money and send the puppy out the door, and they're not going to stand behind anything. You know, I tell people that a reputable breeder will ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to make sure that their puppies are going to a good home and somebody that's going to take care of them. The really good breeders, they genuinely care about their dogs. They, you know, put more money into medical screenings for the parents, which is always an important question, you know, making sure that the parents are healthy so that we have good genetics. And they want to make sure that somebody where the puppies are going, that they're going to be well cared for. If they just want your money and send a puppy out the door, they're not trying to match you with the right kind of personality puppy or anything. They're just in it for the money. Then you are really risking not getting a quality dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you do happen to get a non-quality dog, and things start happening at home, and you want to know if you should take your dog to the ER, Dr. Jasek has a great PDF up on her site in her resource center. It's called Home Treatment. So we want to talk about a couple of these things today. And this can even apply to super healthy dogs, right? Because a lot of people maybe rush their dogs to the ER when they don't need to, and maybe vice versa. Right. So let's talk about a few of these really common things, Dr. Jasek, like diarrhea. What are the signs that if your dog has diarrhea, and number one, I think we got to say, you know, what kind of diarrhea, or does it matter? But I think most diarrhea is probably liquidy. Would you say that is true?
That's kind of the definition, you know, I mean, I think we need to use a little common sense. And when I put this document together, you know, there are signs that you should take your dog to the ER if these things are happening. So hydration is important. So any dog that goes more than 24 hours without drinking is going to need some sort of fluid therapy. And, you know, I think sometimes you need to be firm. You go into the ER and say, look, I think my dog just needs to be rehydrated. Can you just put him on fluids for a day and let's see what happens? I know it's hard for people to probably make judgment calls on treatment protocols, but you know, what I see is dogs will go in, yeah, they'll be put on fluids, which is great, but then also on a handful of drugs, which are not so great. But you know, bottom line is look at how your dog's acting. So all dogs are going to get some loose stool. I mean, that's just a dog thing. They're going to throw up sometimes and they're going to have loose stool because they get into things. But if your dog has diarrhea and it's otherwise acting pretty good, especially if it's at least drinking, sometimes they'll, you know, won't eat for a day or so because their systems are a little upset. And that's exactly what they should be doing. Because that's what I recommend is a fast, a liquid only fast. So you can do bone broth or coconut water, or something like that to help them stay hydrated as long as they're holding down the fluids. And you can wait these things out for 2 or 3 days if they're acting fine. You know, I see so many dogs get a little diarrhea on the weekend, go into the ER. What do they get put on? Metronidazole. Mm-hmm. A couple of days later, they're better. And so people say, well, they got better on the metronidazole, made them better. And I say, did they get better because of it or in spite of it? Because I think 95% of the time they're going to get better anyway. So keep them hydrated. You do a 12 or 24 hour fast. Just let their systems rest and heal. Slippery elm is a great herb. Very, you can buy it over the counter, all sorts of places. Just have it on hand, and that helps. It helps soothe the gut and helps the gut heal. And the majority of these cases they're going to resolve. Now, if it's, you know, profuse liquidy diarrhea for more than 3 days, it isn't resolving, that's different. Or if the pet is passing huge amounts of blood, and I'm not talking about a few little blood flecks or little, you know, strings of blood, because that'll happen anytime the gut's inflamed. I mean, like puddles of blood, because I've seen that happen too. That's more serious. You know, they might need to be evaluated or they might need more help getting stable. But I would say probably 90% of diarrheas could be just very safely and effectively treated at home.
Great. So profuse, guys, is about 3 days or tons and tons of blood. All right. So let's make sure that we understand that. And then you also have in here extreme lethargy. So like you're saying, if the dog is acting fine, just has a little bit of diarrhea, certainly you can fast. I do want to clarify this though. When you say fast, Dr. Jacek, are you saying nothing for 12 to 24 hours or are you saying liquid only fast?
Yeah, liquid only. We want them to be taking in fluids. Now, I think on there under vomiting, but dogs vomiting, you have to hold them off anything orally for a little while. You just have to let the stomach if you've ever had an upset stomach and ever thrown up, like you don't want to take in anything for a little bit. But if a dog, you know, goes more than 12 hours without being able to hold down fluids, I think the key with the vomiting is if they can't hold down fluids, that's serious, because they're never going to stay hydrated if they can't hold down fluids. Now you could give them like a 6 or 8 hour, just complete fast, nothing in the stomach, let their stomach rest, and then introduce small amounts of fluid. They can go several days without eating, but they have to stay hydrated. And if they have diarrhea or vomiting, they're losing a lot of fluid too. So hydration is super important.
Do you think that the traditional ER clinics are going to be amenable to a pet parent saying, hey, I just want fluids. I don't want anything else. That's all I want. Are they going to allow you to dictate that?
Yeah, I don't know. It'll depend on the clinic. Probably depend on the person that you're working with at the clinic. But I think people need to at least ask and need to say, look, can we just try? And maybe you can ask it in a way that you're not discounting the other things they want to do. Say, look, could we just keep my pet hydrated for 12 hours and let's see what happens? And if they start to bounce back, you know, then, you know, maybe we don't need to do these other things. If they're not getting better, then let's revisit our treatment protocol, because the pet parent should have the choice in how their pets are treated. A veterinarian has no authority to dictate to you how to treat your pet. You should have this choice. And I understand if you take your pet into the ER and they do this pushback, you don't want to, you know, keep trying different ERs till you find one that's like a better fit, because you want your pet to get healthy. So, you know, you have to make that judgment call, but it might be worth calling around before your pet gets sick. Say, hey, just wondering, if I were to bring my pet in with diarrhea and all I wanted was it to be hydrated, would you do that on an emergency basis? And see what they say. You know, you might at least get a feel for the clinics that would be a little more willing to work with you. You know, you can tell by the way they answer questions sometimes, kind of what their, you know, what their angle is. Unfortunately, a lot of ERs are corporate, and corporate is about making money, and they're going to make way more money giving your pet a whole bunch of drugs during its visit rather than just hooking it up on fluids. So that's it. It's unfortunately, it's not a medical model anymore. It's a business model, and it's all about profit.
Mm-hmm. Amen, sister. I was reading.
Amen.
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 I was reading last night about Pfizer when they came out with the whole, we're going to put the whole COVID, you know, vaccine out there, and we're not going to take any money because we're doing it for mankind, right? This is what they were saying, right? Yeah. And they were like going back in the Wayback Machine, because nothing's ever totally deleted, right? And They were like, mm-hmm. So that was the narrative, and people got on board with that, but that wasn't really true. So, yeah. Okay. So in the diarrhea, and again, you guys, you're going to be able to find this documentation at ahavet.com. It's in the resource center under home treatments. Okay. But on the diarrhea, your slippery elm is what you would give for that. In vomiting, you've got marshmallow root.
Mm, yep.
Yep. You like that one, yep. Do you?
Marshmallow. They're both mucilaginous.
Easy for you to say, herbs. Doctor.
I told you, it's the only reason we go to doctor school is to right. Pronounce 4 and 5 syllable words, because then the people think we're smart.
Right.
So what that means is they produce mucus. They turn kind of slimy. These are actually roots when you give them. They're in the root form. And I have slippery elm bark here. Or I'm sorry. Slippery elm is a bark. And I have some of the bark here, and you chew on it, and it just kind of turns into slime in your mouth. But the advantage of that is it coats the intestines, it coats the mucous membranes. They're also good for, you know, respiratory issues too, because, you know, when ingested, and then it can help kind of line the respiratory tract. So they're just very soothing. They're very safe. You can't do anything wrong. You can't overdose them, and just have it on hand. And your dog, you see that little bit of a loose stool, they're not even acting sick. I do this with my dog. I take him out for his walk. He's a little loose. I just, next time I feed him, I put some slippery elm in for a couple of meals, and it just kind of helps soothe the gut and clear up the diarrhea. So it's just a great thing to have on hand so that you have something you can do at home. That's kind of the idea here. So you don't have to just sit and worry, or, you know, knee jerk, run your pet into the ER every time, you know, we have a little soft stool.
You know, between your coffee enemas and your chewing on marshmallow root, Dr. Jasek, I think you're going to live forever. I really do.
I want to live forever, but, you know, if I make it as far as my mom did, I got, you know, a few decades ahead of me.
You've got a long time ahead of you.
Oh, I do.
All right. Let's talk about hives, because, you know, I do get this call, and I think that you're seeing a patient now. Hopefully that she got in over there, where this particular dog just has a ton of hives, and she's tried so many different things. Now, hives can be dangerous, right? So let's say if your dog all of a sudden breaks out in hives, they have difficulty breathing, inability to stand. Obviously, if they have loss of consciousness, they're not going to be standing. So they're going to have the inability to stand and they're going to have pale gums. What is this with hives? Is that a reaction like a bee sting or something like that? What is it?
I think there can be lots of different causes, but basically it's a detox reaction, right? I think when we get reactions that show up on the skin, it's like the body's exposed to something and it's trying to get rid of it. And it's trying to get rid of it through the skin. So you get these little, you know, these little hives, the skin is inflamed because the body is trying to detox. So yeah, it can be a direct reaction to some exposure. Now, I would say food reactions or any kind of sensitivities in the diet typically don't produce hives. I mean, I won't say never because always avoid always and never say never, but I would say it's more likely that this is an external reaction to something like a vaccine. You know, we'll see dogs that get vaccines break out in hives. They're exposed to chemicals out, you know, weed killers, things like that. Flea and tick preventatives, these, you know, things that are put in the body that are very foreign to the body, and the body reacts and tries to get rid of them. Now, when we have the more serious signs, the unable to breathe, pale gums, unable to stand, that can be anaphylactic shock. And that's life-threatening. That means that something has completely overwhelmed the body and the body isn't able to detox from it. You know, snake bites could cause something like this. And it depends on sensitivity. You know, I've heard of people going into anaphylactic shock from a bee sting. I've actually known dogs that go into anaphylactic shock when they get bee stings. I prescribed EpiPens for those people to carry with them when they take their dog out and about. So an EpiPen is like a preloaded cartridge that has epinephrine, because that's the first line of treatment for anaphylactic shock, is you give epinephrine, but it buys you some time to get your dog into the vet because this can be life-threatening. But the average hives are going to be, I'd say probably the most common thing is an insect bite of some sort. And then they, you know, break out into little bumps all over their body.
So you do have some of the things that you can try at home, which are on your website there, Apis and nettles, and then cool baths. These are all great. Make sure you guys that all of these are alcohol free. These are better tolerated for your pets, and you have that listed right there. But what if a dog is constantly got hives? What the heck is going on?
Yeah, that's really unusual. But you know what? Our world gets more unusual all the time. I see things that are like, okay, I've been doing this over 30 years and this is a new one. But you mean persistent hives, there has to be a persistent exposure to something that, again, if you think about it as like a detox reaction, the body is trying to get rid of something. There is most likely some external exposure. And again, I would say in most cases, it's not something being ingested, you know, food or something. It's not like that's impossible, but I would say most likely it's some environmental exposure, chemicals outside on the grass or insects. I mean, maybe you've got, you know, a wasp nest, and every time your dog goes outside, it gets bit by a wasp and you just don't know it. Because dogs will chase these things and eat them. So, you know, I mean, things like that can be going on, but you have to think about an ongoing exposure to something that the body is reacting to.
Yeah, yeah. And that particular customer was on several different, and then most of the supplements that she was giving looked pretty benign. But my suggestion was get off of all of them. You know, yeah. get simple, get off of all of them. We don't know if this dog is reacting to that. But
right. You know, I think whenever there's an ongoing reaction, you have to get down to basics. Like we've said so many times, you just get on the basic whole food, species appropriate diet, stop any supplements that are not, you know, medically necessary, and get down to basics and then go on from there.
Yeah. I think these EpiPens might be good for dogs that do react. And then have you heard of the irritant pen? Dr. Jasek?
No.
Yeah, it's a, you just jab these people that irritate you and they automatically become nice. Yeah.
Really? Where do I get those?
I'm going to invent them. I'm going to invent them with little irritant pens. Okay.
We should have, we could have like little voodoo dolls or something, right?
Yeah, and, yeah, right.
And then we don't have to be present with the person. You can just do it on the doll.
Okay, well, you say that, but let me just tell you something that is absolutely happening and is true right now. Okay, now, you know, Dr. Jasek, that you and I do a lot of research. So maybe some of our listeners have not heard of Agenda 2021 or Agenda 2030, right? But I'm sure you have.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of give you in a roundabout way what that is. It's an accounting of all animals, all people, all minerals, all everything in the world. Somebody's going to have an accounting or a tracking of that. And the question is, how are you going to do that? Well, the other day I was visiting a new processing plant, and I was standing on the floor right there with the USDA inspector watching, you know, and I was on the kill floor. And one of my friends said, did that bother you for days after you left? And I said, that didn't bother me as much as what I heard while I was still there. And here's what I heard. They were very excited about this. And I, as you know, things always have a very positive side in order to move you towards it. And it may not have a positive effect long-term. So let me explain. This particular rancher was talking about this new way that they were able to move cattle and move cattle without fences, move cattle without cowboys, move cattle without dogs, because that's the way that cattle is typically and has been for many, many years moved off of the land when it gets to a certain point so that it won't, you know, be void of all its nutrients, right? Mm-hmm. So now what they're doing is they're using technology from satellites above where they can actually see the ground and see where the chlorophyll is and see where all of the nutrients are and how it's being utilized at that point. But now they've come up with this really exciting thing where you can put a collar on a cow, almost like a shock collar on a dog. However, they're not using a shock, they're using a sound. And this sound, once they're trained for a week at the ranch, will move these cattle without a cowboy, without a fence, without a dog, simply from your phone. These fences are virtual fences being moved by electronics. Now, they were very excited about this, right? Because they were talking about up in Grand Lake here where we had this huge fire, and they were talking about that they tried this where they moved the cattle in, and you know, they're moving around all of that ash and everything and revitalizing actually the soil. And then they're able to move those out without having to go up there and build fences and blah, blah, blah. And all of that sounds really exciting until you start thinking that maybe that's what's going to happen to us.
Exactly. They're experimenting on the cattle. Like, if this works on cattle, why won't it work on humans? Let's just make everybody get a collar, or not even a collar, just a chip. They're already starting to implant chips in people. So maybe
we did that in the dogs already.
Yeah, you could just have a little chip and then they can electronically, you know, do something that, you know, motivates you to go one direction or a next or another, you know. I mean, yeah, that's unsettling. It's just unsettling.
Yeah. And so they were saying, well, was it difficult to be on the kill floor? Well, I don't want to be on the kill floor very often, but I do think that one thing about it is that you want to be very appreciative of your food. And I think when you only see food in the grocery store, you don't have this respect for the food you eat as much as you might if you were on a kill floor. And I will say that all of the people that think that these animals are not being treated humanely, you are very wrong. I mean, are there some places that maybe don't treat animals humanely? There might be, but by and large, This is a law. You have USDA inspectors on the floor. And I actually was able to talk to them and say, what are we looking for here? And they're looking for tumors. They're looking for anything that would look like cancer. They're looking for anything that might not be able to go into the human, you know, the human food chain. Mm-hmm. But I would have to say, as this other thing was much more disturbing to me. I mean, it was very disturbing. And then as we were driving back, I was looking at the herds that were on the side of the road and they had collars on.
Oh, geez. Already.
Already. And this is being, Colorado State University, obviously very involved in this. The one thing that they said was that the debate and the question is, who gets this information? Who has access to this information? And the government wants it. And I'm like, well, of course they want it. You know, it's not like just your information. Anyway, so yeah.
And then I wonder too about, is this exposing them to the, you know, the electromagnetic frequencies that are so unhealthy? I mean, I'm a big believer that this 5G and, you know, the EMFs, that that's really, really bad for people, pets, everything. It can really, really mess with us. And so I wonder about those collars, like what is that doing, you know, to the animals?
I don't know, because, you know, what they're really trying to look at is, it is in one aspect, it is a great thing for the beef industry because they are really looking at the methane and they're having companies that are actually trying to capture this methane. And the documentation would support the beef industry versus taking the beef industry down and using this impossible meat, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of different sides to all of this. And that's really how we got started on the conversation was talking about where do we think that Colorado is. Obviously, we had the PAWS Act. We had the powers that be trying to take the beef industry out here. So I don't know. It was just, you know, there's so much to it. It, as is in everything, there's all these different sides. So from one aspect, it was great. You know, they also are selling it that the cattle are less stressed because they're not being, you know, rounded up by the cowboys and the dogs. And, you know, our daughter and our son-in-law are on a working ranch and they do have dogs, you know, that are moving those cattle. But the question is, and I asked this question, I said, can you taste the difference in the beef if you have a calm cow versus a stressed cow? Have we really measured that?
Has anybody ever?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, I would think it would be better because you don't have all the stress hormones and everything, and it would be healthier.
Right.
I don't know if it would taste any different, but it's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah. Lots of things to think about. All right. So I want to hit one more issue here on your home remedy. And this one's on limping, Dr. Jasek. So if a dog is limping, what are the signs that your dog would need to go to the ER?
So, you know, if there's a skin wound, like profuse bleeding, again, unstoppable bleeding, you know, if your dog gets a little cut, dog gets a little puncture wound on its paw, it could bleed a lot, but you get some pressure on it and the bleeding should stop. So, but if a good sized vessel were cut, it will be very hard to stop it with pressure alone. So that would be, you know, one thing. A major limb deformity, you know, the leg is going at an angle it doesn't usually go at, you know, we're broken or dislocated at that point, and the dog's going to need x-rays and probably going to need surgery. I would say non-weight bearing for more than, you know, 48 hours or so. So sometimes, you know, something hurts, you know, they might not walk on the limb for a little bit. I mean, if my dog gets a sticker on his paw, he won't walk on it because it hurts. But something that is able to resolve on its own within, you know, 2 to 3 days should be improving. The lameness, you know, should be getting better. And if it's not, then, you know, then you need to, you know, get them in, get some x-rays done. And, you know, honestly, for like kind of chronic, especially these shifting lamenesses that kind of come and go, maybe it seems like it's one leg, then it's another, and you can't tell, get them adjusted. I mean, I recommend chiropractic care on those cases, because a lot of times that's just coming the backs out of alignment, and something's just a little bit out of whack in the body, and you get a chiropractic adjustment and they do a lot better. A serious limb injury, broken leg, they will be like completely non-weight bearing. And again, usually that you can tell something's like not lined up right anymore.
You know, speaking of that, getting adjusted, I was getting Asta adjusted this week, and I was talking about somebody whose dog was on raw, and they were saying they were constantly constipated. And when I looked at their actual food orders, it doesn't look like this dog, and these are German Shepherds that I know well. It doesn't look like this dog should be constipated, because they're using an 80-10-10 blend, 10% bone, and then a boneless blend. So it doesn't really look like there's something in that that would be causing constipation. And Dr. Andy said, well, have them get adjusted.
Ah, interesting.
I said, oh. And so, yeah, she was saying that, you know, if they're chronically stopped up, and we would have to really take a look at that, because sometimes we see that that's not necessarily so, but it could be. But she was saying that the poop issues can also be addressed by being aligned correctly.
Yeah. Interesting. And, huh? And I think most dogs, it is interesting. And I think most dogs are going to benefit from an adjustment anyway. So it's not like you're going to waste that time and money. And then, you know, if that helps fix it, then, you know, that's part of the issue. I find constipation more often is, you know, diet related, proportions of bone in the diet and things like that, and other things that, you know, people might be feeding, like psyllium, things that can actually do more harm than good in the diet. Sometimes, you know, people take things into their own hands when they're constipated. And I mean, when their pets are constipated, and try things that are kind of extrapolated from the human side, that can sometimes make things worse. But I find that, you know, rather than adding more things in, if they're already eating raw, work with the proportions, try different proteins, you know, try less bone. I mean, I usually tell people if their dogs are constipated, just add in a little extra organ. I think that's the easiest thing, because the organ's nutritious anyway. And if the stools are really hard and dry and they are having any trouble passing them, add in a little extra organ. And that usually helps a lot, rather than adding in Miralax or something like that and give it to your dog.
Yeah, a little organ to shoot it right out of there.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better.
Oh, there you go. We make it simple right here. All right, everybody, you can go over to ahavet.com. And on that same page, she's got information about signs to take your pet to the ER if your dog has low energy. There's some great information there. So get over to ahavet.com. Remember, you can work with Dr. Judy Jasek's team. You need to get signed up, because there is a waiting list. And I always think that you got to, just like you were talking about, call around to your vet, find out, or the ERs, find out what they're going to be willing to work with you on before you need it. Right. Yeah. Because you're going to be in a stress situation when you go into the ER. And that's a time where you're easily talked into something that maybe isn't the best thing.
Right. Right. And the same with like anything any need you might anticipate for your pet. You know, we talk to people all the time here about vaccines and about the importance of minimizing vaccines. Well, sometimes, you know, people have to leave town on short notice. They have a family emergency and they just need to go and they need to board their dog, and wherever they take it requires vaccines and they're in a bind. And so they just give them. Well, find that out ahead of time. You know, maybe you'll never need to put your dog in a boarding kennel, but if you get in a bind and you need to do it, find the ones that will work with you. Will they accept a titer test? Can you do no-sodes? Would they accept a rabies exemption for, you know, if your dog qualifies for a medical exemption for rabies, Will they honor that? Have those things ready and know who's going to accept them. So if they want a current titer test every year, well, then you make sure you get your titer test every year. I personally don't think that immunity goes away, but these facilities have the right to set their own rules. And you don't want to get stuck in a bind where you've got this beautiful, healthy pet, have to leave town, and then they get pumped full of vaccines. And now you got chronic illness when you get back. So, you know, be prepared, just plan for the worst, have the information. And then, you know, you're not caught in a bind.
Absolutely. Don't get your sphincter in a bind. Okay. We don't like sphincter bunching binding. We just, it's not,
what it leads do. To constipation.
It really does. It's always a pain in the butt. All right, everybody, get your dog on a species appropriate diet. Go to Raw Dog Food and Company. Raw Dog Food and Company. Yeah, we got some people out there that have kind of taken our name a little bit and using it as a benefit. So you want to make sure, if you want to get to our site, it's Raw Dog Food and A&D Company. We have the German Shepherd, my Asta, right there on the website. Get over there today, because here at rawdogfoodandco.com, your pet's health is our business. And friends, don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.